Cue the sparkles, cue the music, it's time for Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. Howdy, I'm Amelia Dalton. And folks, it's time to get our RTOS on. Our wearable RTOS, no less. Founder and CEO of Robots, Kim Rowe is here, and we're talking about the nitty and the gritty details of IoT software. We're talking about machine-to-machine communication, the evolution of sensor technology, and more. Check it out. Hi, Kim. Thank you so much for joining me today.
It's great to be here. Thanks. Well, robots helps original equipment manufacturers, or OEMs, build great electronics products faster and cheaper than they might do it by themselves. We do this by providing open standards-based software components and services to implement products quickly. A good example of that might be a modern furnace and air conditioner system, or HVAC system. Robots provides core software components to the manufacturer, which allows the manufacturer to focus on building HVAC systems rather than building infrastructure. Of course, today these HVAC systems have various sensors and actuators to provide lower energy, more comfortable environments in our homes and buildings.
Very cool. All right, Kim, let's talk about machine-to-machine communication, or M2M. Now, in this new age of IoT, what do you think are the biggest challenges when talking about an RTOS for M2M designs?
Well, the biggest challenges discussed in the media are security and power consumption. These surely are important concerns. However, we talk about a much broader set of concerns which relate not just to secure and functionally useful devices, but to an effective OEM product development process. And we talk about 8 factors associated with that. For example, lean product development or platform-based development has emerged as the best way to develop complex products. That's the way we develop cars, for example. Robots Unison RTOS offers an ideal platform for microcontroller or microprocessor-based products, fully supporting lean development. Another key factor is adaptability. The ability to quickly generate new products allows the OEM to meet new market needs, which in turn means market share and satisfied customers and more profit for the company. It's really critical in today's world. And again, with the car analogy, you can see how they structured themselves to change car models, for example, slightly and generate new products. And that's exactly what that's about. Also, with litigation so frequent today, a safe product is essential. Safety features have to be built into the platform, and security goes hand in hand with safety and privacy. The other sorts of factors we talk about are more about the technology associated with building a product or the technology evolution. And those factors are things like connected, complete, cloud, and cutting edge. Let me explain a little bit more. Almost all products are connected today. Connections may be continuous or discontinuous, but they are connected, all products. Out-of-the-box connectivity can save many person months of development, integration, and testing. So this is an essential feature for an RTOS. And today, it surely must include various wireless protocols and gateways. As products evolve over time, they need to adapt to the marketplace. If the lean platform chosen is not complete, it hampers OEM's ability to adapt quickly. The OEM never knows how customers will use their products. Completeness is required, but it is often forgotten until people realize it's necessary. As IoT becomes more common, the cloud connectivity for universal web access, long-term storage of data, and predictive analytics are expected. It is not possible to run these features on small edge devices. Making cloud connections to the 300 or more cloud solutions is a requirement. So in an RTOS, you really need to have these 7 factors. And the 8th factor, being cutting edge, leads to making sure that you're working on the leading edge to make a leading edge product. If your lean and adaptable platform is not always offering the most recent protocols and cloud connectivity, the OEM's ability to meet customer needs is compromised, which reduces market share and profitability. So that's really the 8 factors that go into making sure an RTOS is suitable for M2M and IoT.
Okay, so let's talk about the evolutions of sensors next. Now, sensors have been particularly integral to the success in this new age of IoT. So what do you think are the biggest challenges and solutions in implementing sensor technologies in the next generation of our designs?
The sensors are often all about what I call SWAP, or size, weight, and power, and also about connectivity. Ideally speaking, we want sensors to be zero size, zero weight, require zero power, and to be magically and automatically connected securely. Of course, the real world isn't really like that, and it's not the case that we can actually develop sensors like that. There's a complex set of trade-offs to move the OEM products towards the ideal case, using a balance of features to provide an acceptable solution. You know, sensors come in all sizes, shapes, weights, power requirements, and connectivity options. Sensors themselves collect a broad spectrum of data, from basic ambient conditions such as temperature and pressure, through human vital signs, for example, all the way to complex command and control video-based systems. All are required for various applications. The challenges appear on multiple levels. The first is the system's design level. How will you architect the system? What data will be sent under what conditions? What analytics will be provided? By choosing the right architecture and getting the necessary data collection just right, and merging this with the right communications protocols, gateways, cloud engine, and analytics, the OEM designer determines the capability of the system. And that's really the first thing about making the sensors work properly, is making sure that the system the sensors go into is right. For the actual sensors themselves, getting the sensors right is really a difficult process as well. For the sensors to actually implement the sensor to meet the swap and connectivity requirements while delivering the right data at the right time with a bill of materials cost to maximize margins, and to do so in a timely fashion is very challenging. And this is really what Unison RTOS is really used for primarily today. The last thing I'd like to say is in the sensor area is that the last feature is the development of new sensor technologies. Sometimes we have to measure things that haven't been measured before. To actually develop a new sensor which measures something at the current limits of technology is always a huge challenge. With these devices, we help too, but primarily that's engineering services to help them structure their sensor in the right way.
Okay, Kim, let's get down to security, which is a huge hot button issue in all of IoT, heck, all of high tech these days. Where do you see security playing a role in today's IoT designs and our IoT designs in the future?
Security is one of the largest factors in IoT today for a variety of reasons. First, we have to have any privacy. We must have security, and privacy is driven by legal requirements. Second, security and safety go hand in hand. If your system is not secure, it is vulnerable, and this can lead to safety concerns for many people. For example, hacking of a dam, as was done in the American East a couple of years ago, can lead to opening of floodgates in the middle of flood season, and many lives could be lost. In other ways, security is required to avoid damage caused by modified data. With data modification, an IoT system can respond incorrectly, threatening lives and causing, say, huge financial loss. This type of attack must be eliminated as well. In short, security is a must-have to make systems safe and to maintain privacy. On the more fundamental focused level of implementation, questions revolve around how to make a system secure. In the area of IoT security, the sensor side can be very secure provided that proper steps are taken. This surprises many people. From a high level, systems are attacked remotely in many cases. Remote attacks revolve around communication protocols and somehow getting malicious code into the system to take control. By making sure malicious code cannot enter the system, many attacks can be averted. In small microcontroller systems, with onboard security hardware, by eliminating dynamic loading, except to replace the entire image, sensors can be very secure. Let me talk a little bit more about this. Imagine controlling the security of all elements of the software which are going into a sensor. By building a chain of trust from the initial code using a secured RTOS platform, encryption and signing of software images, secure transfer of images, secure storage of images, secure boot of images, and elimination of dynamic loading, how would you actually get malicious code into the system? You could maybe have a side channel attack or some indirect attack to figure out the encryption strategy, but this would require physical access and a great deal of time, money, and patience. If there is physical access, security is more difficult but still possible. With onboard encryption hardware and no visibility of the keys, breaking in is difficult. This would require removal of the top of the microcontroller package or microprocessor package and directly probing of the die, which is, of course, a very, very fine level of detail, and you actually have to probe and find the actual key values. If the package is tamper-resistant, the sensor can destroy the keys before the keys are compromised. So they can be very secure. Another key concern, though, if the device is physically compromised in some way or lost, If non-encrypted file systems or data storage is used, then the data may be vulnerable as well. Basic precautions like eliminating access to flash memory interfaces used for storage are a good start, but they aren't really foolproof. The best choice is an encrypted file system, which will eliminate most of the risk if properly implemented along with a good physical design. With all of this said, security is really a moving target. It is evolving every day, and it requires good preparation, a focus on good security, and a commitment to provide resources for implementation and testing of the system.
All right, Kim, I have one last question for you, and it's an off-the-cuff. Now, I heard that you are into dancing, so tell me, how did you get involved in dancing, and what kind of dance do you do?
Well, actually, it's a funny question. I started off dancing when I had a girlfriend that wanted to go off and take dancing lessons, and it was ballroom dancing, and I loved it, and she hated it. And she's no longer my girlfriend, I guess I could say that. And more recently, I got into salsa dancing just because I was looking for something new and kind of more upbeat. I'm not a great salsa dancer yet, but I'm trying.
Excellent. I love me some salsa dancing. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Kim.
Oh, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel. Folks, it is super cool. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos and our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. You can find it by heading on over to YouTube and checking out keyword EE Journal. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, I'll see you at the Design Automation Conference pretty soon. Or even the best geeky hotspot in your city. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of May 26th, 2017, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been Fry.